Well, get your Bibles out this morning and go to the Gospel of John. I was going to preach a message again this morning that I preached Wednesday night called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, which is one of the is the best message as of today that I ever preached in my life. And that recording will be out soon, but I'm going to preach that message again because it was too good and God showed me some more things. But then I woke up this morning realizing that it's somebody's birthday that needed to be recognized. Today is 50 days from Passover. So does anybody know what today would be? Today is actually Pentecost Sunday. Today is the birth of the Holy Spirit. Today is His birthday. It's the Holy Ghost's birthday today. And so I was just sitting there this morning. I realized, I said, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I was all set up and going one direction. And then it was like, I love it the way the Lord just kind of reminds me, just like, you know, the last minute says, oh yeah, by the way, you're wrong and you need to go this way. And I'm like, oh no. So anyway, I'm preaching on the Holy Ghost this morning because it's Pentecost Sunday. Now, go to the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 5, and I want to show you something here. So I'm just preaching off the cuff this morning, so only the Holy Ghost knows what's going to happen. Verse 5 says, but now I go to him who sent me. Jesus is speaking here. None of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, that's like saying, that's like Jesus. I mean, can you? The truth, Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, the Word of God, the truth says. Now, I'm telling you the truth. How important is it when the truth tells you the truth? He's making a strong point here. As I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because see, the disciples are all sad because Jesus is saying, look, I'm about to go to the Father. I'm not going to be here. I'm getting ready to go away. And so, you know, you need to, but I'm telling you, it's your advantage. And they're like, how could that be? You're leaving us. What do you mean you're leaving us? And you're telling me it's a good thing you're leaving? It can't be a good thing you're leaving. Has Jesus ever been, you felt like he was doing something in your life or something with you, and you're sitting there thinking, no, wait a minute, Lord, this guy, no! Maybe you're losing some of your comfort zone. Maybe God's asking you to step out and do something and you're not, you know, he wants you to teach. He wants you to go talk to somebody, but you're not really comfortable doing that. And so he's stretching you a little bit and you're like, oh Lord, I was more comfortable over here. This is a better place. So the disciples are freaking out. They're like, what do you mean, Lord, you're leaving? He said, no, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. I don't know about you, church, but I need a helper. I need somebody to keep me out of trouble every second, every moment of my life. I need the Holy Spirit tapping me on the shoulder, telling me, Robert, don't do that. Robert, you need to be quiet. Robert, don't do that. Y'all with me? I need that in my life. He says, a helper will come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he's going to do something. He's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, I want to preach this message this morning, and I want to tell you that I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Ghost has gotten a bad rap. He has been misinterpreted, mispresented by preachers and churches for a long time. People today, Christian people today, and a lot of them, are scared of the Holy Spirit. They're scared of anything that says about the Holy Spirit. They don't want to talk about it. Although they'll say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they're doing something really reverent and high. But to actually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in most churches has been totally and completely misrepresented. Are y'all with me? Now, I want to show you the three things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit said he'd do. Or he said that the Holy Spirit would do. First thing is he's going to convict of sin. So immediately, most people have taken the interpretation that the Holy Spirit is the one that comes upon you and makes you feel bad for doing wrong. The Holy Ghost is the one that's after you. Going to get you in trouble. Going to ruin your life. Going to ruin your fun. That's the Holy Spirit. But that's not really what he's saying here. If you look, he says he's going to convict the world of sin and righteousness. He's going to of sin because they do not believe in me. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is set about on the face of this earth to come into your life and to speak to you and to help you in every area of your life. You're not fully walking in all the promises that are yours. That's the conviction. Listen to me. The churches have promoted and preached for so long and tried to address sin as ideas, as saying, labeling it and saying, well, this is sin and this is sin and this is sin. So don't do those. But the bottom line is, church, sin is anything that's causing us to miss the mark of this relationship that we could have with Jesus. So listen to me. If you're worried, you're in sin. You don't like to hear that? It's the truth. If you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're saying, oh my God, how are we going to make it? Oh my God. You're in sin. If you want to eat for comfort, and I'm not talking about because you're hungry and you're looking for something to satisfy your soul, that's kind of getting close to walking in sin, because you're not looking to Jesus. You're not looking to the comfort of the Holy Ghost to help you. You're wanting somebody else to help you. Like for some reason, I got, you know how commercials, you can look at a commercial and it, something happens, you know, like you're sitting there, you just got through eating, and then they have a commercial pancakes. And you're like, oh, pancakes, that'd be good. I've got some kind of a stronghold on a stupid Klondike bar. I've never eaten one in my life. I've never eaten a Klondike bar in my life. I don't even know that I've ever seen them. But the commercial the other day, I was watching, I was like, I want to eat one. Until yesterday, I talked my wife into going to town searching through this metropolitan city of Utopia for a Klondike bar, and there was none to be found. I was disappointed. I was discouraged. I was mad. All I'm saying, church, is that we get so religious and legalistic in our lives that we're trying to say, you know, the old big sins of drinking, smoking, and dancing, you know, that's the biggies. If you're not doing them, well, folks, listen, you got to wake up in life and say that sin is anything that keeps us from walking in the fullness of our relationship with Jesus. If you have a, you're not going to want to hear this one, but if you have a lack of self-confidence, and you feel inferior, and you're always looking, and you're always dogging yourself, and you're always talking bad about yourself, you're in sin. Well, no, I'm not in sin. I'm just trying to just stay over here and just be going. No, you're not walking in the covenants and the promises Jesus gave you. The same as if you're boastful, arrogant, and prideful. Sin. You cannot label and say, well, it's these three things are the big sinners, and if you're not doing them, the rest, you're probably going to make it, everything's going to be okay. You're going to skim through. Right as the pearly gates are slamming shut, you're going to zip through right quick before it's all over you if you just don't do those big three. Fourth, you throw in cussing. Drinking, dancing, smoking, and cussing. You know? So you follow what I'm saying here, church? I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit's job is to come in there and tap us on the shoulder and say, listen, you're wrong. You're in sin because you're Listen, you're letting pride get in your life. Do you know that a man can have $20 billion in the bank and be full of pride? And a man can have nothing in the bank and be full of pride. Pride doesn't have anything to do with money. Pride doesn't have anything to do with accomplishments. Pride has something to do on the inside of you, and it's called sin. And the Holy Ghost is the instrument on the face of this earth loose to come in there and tap you on the shoulder and say, look, you're not really living into the fullness of what God would have for you. It's like you're cutting a tree down with an axe, and you finally learned how to sharpen the axe, but the whole time there's a chainsaw sitting there. And the Holy Ghost comes and taps on your shoulder and said, you know, if you reach over there and pull that rope, cut a whole lot easier, that chainsaw. But we Christians say, no, I can handle this. I finally figured out how to sharpen my axe. And it's going to cut that tree down. Still 100 years old, yeah, cut it down and get a tree down. The whole time the chainsaw was right there for you, but you don't want to use a chainsaw. That's what happens when people don't want to help, want the Holy Ghost help. They don't want the Holy Ghost to come into life. They don't wake up every morning. Every morning I wake up, I walk outside, I feed the animals, I feed the deer. I'm walking back. I look up because where my house sits, I see the hills on the other side of the valley. I say, man, Lord, I thank you. I look into the hills from whence comes my help, for my help comes from the Lord. I say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Ghost, keep me out of trouble today. I say that almost every morning of my life. Because I need the Holy Ghost to keep me out of trouble. Are y'all with me? I want him in my life. I want him to convict me. I want him to tell me when I'm going to do something wrong. So he said he's going to convict you of sin. And then it says right here, and righteousness. On the same hand, he's trying to be your cheerleader, telling you, wait a minute. God gave you a covenant. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Come on, he's trying to be the great cheerleader from heaven saying to you, no, come on, just believe, just follow what God's promises are. Look at Lana, it'll work. You're washed in the blood. You say, I'm not worthy, I don't feel like I can do anything. He says, no, you're a child of God. You're born again. Come on, you can do it. He's the great cheerleader. All right? He's trying to show you things about your relationship with Jesus because of what Jesus did for you. I just want to throw this out at you. Do you know that as a born-again Christian, a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, Jesus is the Lord of your life. You know that you know that you know that if you die, you're headed to heaven. You know that Jesus lives in you because you've asked him to come into your life, okay? Do you know that you can't fail? Huh? Well, but Pastor, you know, sometimes... I didn't say you couldn't mess up. Do you know that God, all of heaven is for you? Listen, it makes me so mad. I would love to just be able to beat it. The stinking spirit of religion that comes upon people and tell them, say, well, you know, God's sitting up there and sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. And sometimes he'll just... No. That's bull. That's from the pit of hell. That's demon talk. You're disagreeing with hell. When you spew stuff like that out of your mouth, you might as well get some horns and a pitchfork. You know, that would be a good thing. We need to line some pitchforks up in the back here. And whenever you're in church and you hear anybody talking like that, just walk over and get a pitchfork and hand it to them. Change their attitude real quick. Over on this side, we have some little demon horns. Put them up over there and say, here, you need to go get those little demon horns and put on those things that you're talking like the devil. The Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives and show us. He said, no, God has great things for you. He's got great things for you. If you'll just believe in him and you'll walk in his principles. See, if we don't want to walk in his principles, then he's got to go back and show us the other thing of where we're walking in error so he can get us lined up so that we can then receive the promises. Do you notice that? The Holy Ghost truly is the helper. He's trying to get us all straight. Then he says, and of judgment, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that the devil is defeated in your life. That Jesus sits upon the throne of God. And it's not some kind of a close race to see who's going to win. It's not some kind of a basketball game and it's just right down and you've been in double overtime and you're going to see if you can. Like, oh, my God. Oh, God, finally won. Folks, go read it. Go read the Bible. It says that the devil decided he could wage war against God. You know how fast he lasted? It says that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. How quick do you see a lightning strike? Right? That's how fast the devil came up and said, all right, I'm ready. I mean, he didn't even get a punch. It wasn't a battle. It really wasn't a battle. Listen, it's not a battle if you lose that quick. Are you with me? It's not a battle. I don't know what you call it. Not even a good skirmish. If you get thrown out of heaven like lightning strike, when you just rose up, there wasn't much of a fight. There is not some battle going on for your life. The only battle going from your life is if the devil can get you to walk in his ways. Then you will miss God's plan for your life. You'll miss the blessings God has for you. You will miss the benefits God has for you. And you will walk in error. And the Holy Ghost is there the whole time going to show you where you're walking wrong, show you what really is yours, and make sure you realize the devil's defeated. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's his main purpose, his main job upon this earth, according to our Master Jesus. Now listen to me. I may step on some toes here. That's not Living Waters Church doctrine. That's not Pentecostal doctrine. That's not any denomination's doctrine. That's what the Word of God says coming from Jesus' lips himself. Over 7,000 translations of the Bible, and it all says the same thing in that verse. There's no contention about anything. Well, in some ancient manuscripts, it wasn't there. Oh, just shut up. I don't even want to hear it anymore. It's just bull. Now, does that mean that people have abused the Holy Spirit? Does that mean that people have taken and magnified one thing above another? Yeah. You know why? Because we're humans, and humans mess up. We've got to get over the fact in life that just because preachers and churches mess up, that God is, something's wrong with him. God got his word out through a donkey. Was the donkey perfect? But he brayed at the right time. Matter of fact, he spoke. That's a good example. Have you ever gone back and just read the story of Balaam and all that was going on? And you can go find it over in the Book of Numbers, but anyway, you know, it's where the donkey, God was putting an angel in front that was going to kill him. And the donkey, he got on a donkey trying to ride down this, but the donkey didn't want to go. And so he went around another, and there was an angel there, and he went around another place, and the angel was there. The guy's just a whipping and a spurring and saying, come on, come on, come on. Till finally the donkey went and laid down, so the old boy just got off and went to beating on him. And then God opened that donkey's mouth, and the donkey talked. The thing that always amazed me about the story was not that the donkey talked, but that the guy talked to the donkey. So which one was really the donkey? The guy talking to him or the donkey? The donkey just says, hey, don't you understand there's an angel? The Lord's standing in front of me. I can't go anywhere. And he's like, I had you since I was, you were little. What's the matter with you? I'm going to ride you. You don't do what I say. The donkey says, but the angel's under there. He says, I don't care. There's an angel. He's having a conversation, an argument with the donkey. Something is wrong with the picture. That's our problem in life. Just because the donkey is talking, we've been arguing with him and all, when we ought to realize that it's just a donkey talking and just go on. And churches and religion, they will always do things that try to get us astray and wrong. Just because people are not perfect doesn't mean God is not perfect. He just doesn't have a lot to work with. I mean, he doesn't. We're made out of dirt. Talk to snakes, donkeys, you know. So you got to give him a break. He's all we got. I'm sure sometimes I'm sure they're having a conversation in heaven and said, man, we should have used monkeys or we should have just let the sheep talk. It would have been easier. But anyway, it's us. All right? So, I want you to go now, and we're going to finish up here. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. So it says in verse 1 that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's today, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now I want y'all to make this note. It was not a rushing mighty wind. It was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. So nobody's hair was getting messed up and nothing blowing. Are y'all with me? It sounded like a rushing mighty wind. All right? And there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want y'all to understand something. I don't know where you're raised, what kind of church you're raised in. I don't know what you believe about speaking in tongues or whatever. But listen to this. God had to, at that time, open people's mouth and give them an ability to speak in another language because they had never seen anything like this on earth. And the only way he was going to give voice to the glory that had just happened was going to have to be he was going to have to do it. Otherwise, everybody had been standing there going, I don't have any words to describe what I see happening. The other thing that happened right there, and for time's sake, I don't have time to go back there, but if you go read back in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, when all the people were of one language and of one voice, they did accomplish great things. And what God was concerned about was they were going in the wrong direction. And so he said, we need to confuse their language. It was interesting that the voice of the Holy Spirit united every person that was there that day. The voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues through the people that day united the voice of every person to be one voice magnifying and glorifying God. Okay? You don't want to argue too much about speaking in tongues with me because I did preach a message here one time, 47 reasons why you need to speak in tongues. So, you know, I'm armed. Even Ivan laughs at me. He says, there's no way you could have got 47 reasons. I said, man, I got 47 reasons. All right? The point I want you to see here is when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost and he came into the believer's life, look what happened. And they were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke in tongues. Folks, listen to me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can sit around and you can argue all day long whether, oh, well, I did. When I got saved and gave my heart to Jesus, I got everything that God had for me. Go ahead, believe that if you want to. You're just scared. Look at the person who's saying, man, I like this guy. People selectively choose their religion based upon what they want to believe. So, I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, for sure. That's enough said. I won't go. Not based upon what the Word of God says. So they run down it like a menu. Oh, you mean these guys, we can do this? If we're this, we can, oh, wow, that's included in. Ooh, I like that. This one over here, I don't know, that's a little too much. I'm like, makes me a little nervous. That's rich me up. And you look over here on the other side of the menu and you're like, wow, that's freaky. I've always been extreme. I like extreme sports. I think I like extreme religion. I want to go to the church they run. Yeah. You're into exercise. You know, you want to be a Pentecostal. Right? You don't want to be a Presbyterian. So, you know, people selectively choose their religion based upon what they really want to do. But I said we can't do that. I said we have to go back and read the Bible. And we have to read the Bible, and whatever the Bible says, that's what we have to do. Hello? Let me give you one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to get in really trouble here in a minute, but don't. Look at verse 18. The Apostle Paul's speaking. Let's read 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Apostle Paul, which I believe can interpret the Scriptures better than we could interpret the Scriptures, he says this is the will of the Lord. To do not be drunk with wine, which is in disputation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That word, when it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you read it in out of the Greek and really read everything it has, it means be being filled. That means all the time. Okay, you spoke to Jesus once and gave your heart to Him. Do you need to speak to Him again? Right? Well, then, if you got filled with the Holy Spirit once, do you think it might drain out your toes? You might lose a little of it. You might have lost it when you got mad, had that fight the other day and screamed and acted like a demon. And now you maybe need to have a little fresh oil on you. You say, I don't know who you're talking about. We need the relationship of the Holy Spirit all the time. We need to be being filled. We need to wake up every morning of our life. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you need to wake up every morning in your life and you need to say to your mouth, Jesus, today I just come to you and I worship you. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill my heart today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need all of you. I need to be filled. You need to worship God and let Him fill you with the Holy Spirit. He said, well, what if something happens to me, oh God, and I start to speak in tongues? Speak in tongues then, bless God. You say, well, I don't know. I've heard that it could be demonic tongues. Well, then tell the devil not to speak out of your mouth. Why not just say, I tell you, ain't nothing no devil going to speak out of my mouth in the name of Jesus. Put a little faith in that. Holy cow. Let's get out there and really use the word. Well, that's just weird and freaky. Rising from the dead is not weird and freaky. Going to heaven is not weird and freaky. We serve a supernatural God, folks. We serve a God who's not dead, but's alive forevermore. Have you ever been so exasperated in life you didn't have a word to say anymore? You're just like, anybody ever been there? Wouldn't it be the other way to be so great? You want to praise God so much that you can't think of a word to say, but then the Holy Spirit just prayed it through you? See, folks, let's quit making things weird that aren't weird. Let's quit making things mystical that necessarily don't have to be mystical. Let's put some faith and belief in what the Word of God says. and get the helper in our life every day. Ask him to come into our life and to fill our hearts and to fill our lives, to fill our mouths, to fill our minds, to fill everything in us so that we can go out in this world and be lights and witnesses for him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm through. I quit before I get in trouble. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Now listen to me. I'm going to pray for you right now. Matter of fact, let me have my prayer team come down. If y'all will just come on down. I'm going to pray for you right now. The first thing I need to ask you is this. Listen to me. Everybody in here, listen, hear me just for a minute. Everybody that's listening, watching by video and listening on radio this morning, just hear this for a minute. How many of you can confidently say in here that you know that if you die today, you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay. I can't see everybody's hands quickly. Y'all are too fast like this, and so I don't really know. But so if you're in here today and you didn't raise your hand, you weren't compelled to say, yeah, that's me, I know. Like, see, right now, if I heard, you know, there's a meteor on the 31st that's coming close to Earth. Did y'all hear that? Like this huge one. If that sucker was headed right towards us, I'd be standing out in the parking lot saying, come on, baby. Whee! I'm going to heaven. Come on. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I know I'm going to die and go to heaven. He said, well, Pastor, you're a sicko. I'm getting old, man. I'm getting old. I'm just saying, I don't fear death. Because I know that the Bible says I want to step out of this body and I want to step over into heaven. Okay? I know that I'm fully well confident. Nobody's going to steal it to me. Nobody's going to come argue me out of it. There's no, I don't care what church, what religion, whatever. You're not going to argue me out of it. I don't care what they pull up. Listen, I watched yesterday on the History Channel this guy who said that he found the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if any of y'all noticed that. I had to watch it. I knew it was going to be stupid, but I had to watch it. Just to see how ignorant this whole show was. It ends up that he's got the whole Ark of the Covenant reduced down to a wood drum about this big. Literally drum, boom, 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 like that. And I was like, I said, "What? Did you even think about reading the Bible? If it was just a big drum, then why would everybody have wanted to steal it? Why would it have been marched around the city? Would you be impressed if you're sitting on the walls of Jericho and you saw these guys carrying a big drum around? So what is that guy got? He's got a big drum." I mean, give me a break. I just want to tell the guy, you don't know what you're talking about. There's a lot of people in the world, they don't know what they're talking about. They can talk me. I don't care if that guy sat right here all day long trying to prove to me that what I believe is wrong. I know. It's down inside of me. It's in me. I know it in me. I'm not convinced because my mama said so or my daddy said so or anybody else said so. I know it. That's the way we ought to live, all of us. If you don't know that, well, then I want to tell you something. You shouldn't be living like that. Right? But if you know that you know, and if you're in here today or you're watching by video and you don't know that, you need to cry out and ask Jesus to come into your life. If you're in here today and you're not sure of your salvation, you need to come up and pray with one of these people sitting here. Don't walk out of this room. You might get run over by a truck out there. Don't do it. Come up here and pray with somebody. Give your heart to Jesus and get that assurance in your life. If your heart's pounding right now because you're not really sure, don't leave the building. Get up here and pray with one of these people. But listen to me, if you are saved, you know it, then I want to tell you something. You're a candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of your life. You've already done the first step. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. So the second step is you got to ask. You know how just like you ask in faith that you got saved? That's how you ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, the same faith. It's not mystical. It's not religious. It's not church doctrine. No, it's Bible. And I'm going to pray for you now. And I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to go through a big deal and try to, you know, no. I'm telling you, look, spend some time reading your Bible. Spend some time looking at those scriptures I just read. Spend some time sitting at your home by yourself, saying, God, I want everything you've got for me. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me full to overflowing. Not expecting a feeling or a twinge or, whoo-hoo, oh, I got that. Maybe, I don't know. But by faith in your heart, it's saying, Lord, fill me today with all of your Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. You know what will happen, folks? He will. And then you know what? You got to start listening. Because the Holy Spirit's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, yes, now that we have a clearer line of communication, I'd like to help you in this area. And then you're going to say, oh, I'm not listening to that. I don't want to quit doing that. Okay, you know what? He ain't going to talk to you no more. He's the helper. You know what's funny about it? I was a carpenter's helper as I started out in life after I went broke as a rancher. And you know what a carpenter's helper does? Everything the carpenter tells him to do. Real rocket science here. Okay? But if the carpenter doesn't tell the helper what to do, you know what the helper does? He stands there. You know why? Because they ain't paying me to think. You never get mad at the carpenter's helper for just standing there. Because the carpenter, who knows what to do, has to tell the helper what to do in that case. And say, go do this and go do that. Well, the same way in a reverse role as the Holy Spirit's there. He's the helper. He's smarter than you are. But unless you ask him, he isn't going to do anything. Because he's the helper. Amen. So right now, I'm just going to pray over you. Take the person's hand beside you. I'm going to pray over you. Father, I declare today in Jesus' name, Lord, we celebrate in our hearts today that it's the day of Pentecost, that, Lord, you didn't leave us orphans. You just came to us and you sent us the Holy Spirit to come down on this earth and to be with us and to help us and to guide us and to teach us and to work with us. And, Lord, today we just ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to full to overflowing. Lord, let our cups be filled. Come in, Holy Spirit, just and fill us and touch us and clear out all the lines of communication between us, and that everywhere we've messed up, everywhere we haven't listened to you, Lord, we just repent. We ask you to forgive us. And Holy Spirit, come and just be like that gentle dove and that strong wind that would blow in our life, that you would speak to us, that we would hear you and that we would walk on those paths, that we wouldn't walk in things that are sin and we wouldn't walk in unrighteousness, because you would lead us along the right path. And that we would know and be assured in our hearts that the devil is defeated. He's defeated in our lives. He has no victory in our lives. He has no power in our lives. And we're not going to give him any. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. And I just ask you today to just let this message ring and resound in the hearts of everyone here. Lord, that every day of our lives we'll get up and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And that we'll deepen our relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Now, Lord, bless our time. Bless our fellowship. Bless the food and all the hands that prepared it. Lord, let us just have a glorious day of just fellowshipping with each other and fellowshipping with you. And, Lord, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. We're up here, church. If you need prayer, we're up here. Come get it.